Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Just before Psalms. Job chapter 19. True baptism. We're here for a baptism. Actually, we're here to worship God, and there's going to be a baptism. True baptism is a work of God's Holy Spirit. True baptism. It's a work of God's Holy Spirit. Baptism is God's Holy Spirit laying hold on a sinner and immersing that sinner into Jesus Christ. That's baptism. That's baptism. The actual baptism is not something we do. In just a minute, I'm going to take this coat off, and he's going to come up, and we're going to do something. Baptism, the actual baptism, is not something we do. It's something God does. Something God does. Our Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, believing is faith, right? Isn't that what believing is? It's faith. And faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Isn't that what Ephesians 2:8 says? Not of yourself. Exercise your faith. Well, I can if God doesn't give me any. It's the faith of Christ. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God. The gift of faith and the exercising of faith is of God. Believing is not something we do. It's something God causes us to do. It's something He causes us to do. God does the work. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure, right? So when our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," what He was saying was, if God does the work, and if God does the work, you're going to be saved. That's what He was saying. Acts chapter 15, our Lord said, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning." Isn't that what it says? If God does the work, and if God does the work, you're going to be saved. "And known unto God are all His works from the beginning." No surprises with Him. Oh, I better do something. "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." So by the time we find some water, there was an Ethiopian eunuch who heard the truth, and he asked Philip, "There's water. What doth hinder me?" By the time we actually find some water, the work is over. It's over. It's all over. It has been long finished. We are not about to have a salvation. We're not about to have a salvation. The work is over. It's all finished. Well, then what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? It's because our God told us to. That's why He told us to. He performs a work on the heart. He does it. And then He gives us a heart to confess to everybody, "This is what God has done for me." That's what's happening right now. Now, something was greatly blessed to my heart for this message tonight. you're not going to speak. You're about to come up here and you're not going to speak. But you're about to say something. This is a confession. We are saying something in doing this. Sometimes it might be worded this way. Sometimes it might be worded that way. But all of God's sheep are saying the exact same thing when they do this. They're saying the exact same thing. In just a moment, you're going to lie back. He's going to hold his nose and hold his arm. And he's going to lie back, and that water is going to cover him. And then all of a sudden, he's going to be raised up. And what you're saying in that is the same thing we're saying. And it's the same thing Job said. And I love how he worded it. I love how he worded this. Look at Job 19, verse 25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, and I hope you do, in verse 27, next to the word "though," here's how it is originally worded. "My reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day. I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. My reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day." Is that not what we're saying? Isn't that what we're saying? He said in verse 25, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." What he's saying is, I need a Redeemer. I needed a Redeemer. That's what you're saying. I needed a Redeemer. I was lost in sin. I was fallen from God, absolutely separated and fallen from God. That was my state. That was me. I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. My mother's name was Linda Stoniker. And I came forth speaking lies. I did. The thoughts and the intents of my heart were only evil continually. That's all they were. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I didn't say dwelled. I said dwelleth. Right now. No, in this flesh right here, no good thing. Is that what you're saying? No good thing. No, I have nothing to glory in. I needed a Redeemer. And in this baptism, we're confessing the gospel. What we're saying is, I found one. What we're actually saying is, one found me. One found me. I was found. I was lost, now I'm found. Job said in verse 25, "I know that my Redeemer. Here's what we confess in this. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just the Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. He redeemed me. He took my place. That's what this is all about. It's about Jesus Christ taking my place. My place. It's not about me making a decision. It's not about me doing the right thing, turning over a new leaf, straightening up my act. This is Jesus Christ took my place. He took my place. Every judgment, I just said I was a sinner. Every judgment, every punishment that I was supposed to suffer under the wrath of God, Jesus Christ took it all for me. Why would he do that? Because you're a good person. No, I'm not. Why would he do that? He took it all for me. He took it all as me. As me. He's my substitute. Now listen to our substitute here. These are the words that Job wrote. But listen to the voice of our substitute in this, okay? Here's Christ speaking. Look at Job 19, verse 1. Then Christ answered and said, wait a minute, that says Job. Yes, but Job had a redeemer. Job had a substitute. Here's the thing. What Job is about to say is what Christ became for Job. Job had a substitute. And this is what we're confessing. Christ answered for me when God the Father, with all of my records, said, Gabe Stoniker, Jesus Christ said, here I am. Verse 1, Job answered and said, Christ answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You are not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, my error remaineth with myself. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 says, he was made sin who knew no sin. The sinless one was made to be sin. You know what sin and whose sin? My sin. He was my redeemer. And whenever he stood before that judgment throne, he opened not his mouth. He was standing there with my sin. He took them as his own. He said, these are mine. These are mine. He became me. He wore my sin. He owned it. Verse 5 says, if indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me. You know why Christ died on that cross? God put him there. And who is Christ? God himself. He put himself there. Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong. And that word means violence. But I'm not heard. My Lord, my Redeemer will hear me because Christ was not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He laid every bit of that aside. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and my hope hath he removed like a tree. He cut it down. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. Our Lord was cut off for us. Cut off for us. cut off from me. That was supposed to be me. I was supposed to be saying that. I've been cut off from the house of God. But he was cut off for me. Verse 14, he said, my kinsfolk have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake evil against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. That's our God hanging on that cross. The hand of God hath touched me. Do you know what he was doing right there? Redeeming us. Redeeming us back to God. All the punishment that he deserves laid on me. You give it to me. Redeeming us. He died redeeming us back to God. Back to God. Paying for our debt. And in doing that, whenever he took every bit of that off us, he wiped that slate clean. What can wash away my sins? The blood of Jesus Christ can. I mean, they're gone. They're clean. They're gone. They're not just covered. They're gone. They're washed away. Absolutely away. And in doing that, our Redeemer made us accepted in the Beloved, accepted back with God himself. And what we're saying right here, this is a confession. And what we're saying in this confession is, he was successful. That's what we're saying. He died. I died in him. But he has risen, and I have risen in him. He was successful. Everything he set out to do, he finished. He did not try to redeem me. He did it. That's what we're saying. He did not try to redeem me. He did it. And God was satisfied with everything he did on our behalf. Job said in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he does. I died in him. I was immersed into him. And I've risen with him. And he said in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. The book of Job is considered to be possibly the first book written of the 66 books that are in the Bible. Even before Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the first one penned. And when Job wrote this, God was not yet manifest in the flesh. When a virgin conceived and bare a child, that was God. That was God. Call his name Emmanuel, because God is with you. God has come down. God manifest in the flesh. And our Lord was not yet manifest in the flesh, but Job said, I know that my Redeemer's coming. I know he is. And I know that he's going to stand on this earth and he's going to redeem me. And he did. He did. And because of that, now we today, 2,000 years later, we can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Not this earth. The scripture says whenever the trump resounds and the clouds roll back and the Lord descends, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him in the air. But he said, I'm making a new heaven and I'm making a new earth. One wherein dwells righteousness. And we can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he's going to be standing on that earth. The man. The God-man is going to be standing on that earth. We were immersed into Him. We have risen with Him, and because of that, we're going to be standing with Him. We're going to be standing in Him. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Is that as exciting to you as it is to me? Is that as exciting to you as it is to me? In my flesh. In my flesh. Shall I see God? Let me show you three verses of Scripture, okay? Turn with me over to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. This is after He was risen. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, the one you have known for 3.5 years. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. See those bones? Spirit doesn't have those. Flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 says, And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, our Lord was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. This same Jesus, with hands, with feet, with flesh, with bones. This same Jesus, He's coming back exactly like you saw Him go up. The same one. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Flesh, bones, hands, feet, we're going to be just like Him. Just like Him. Now look one more time back at Job 19. Job said in verse 26, though after my skin worms destroy this body. All right, if the Lord does not return, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to lay these bodies down. Our Lord called it sleeping because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's not actually death. But they're going to go into the ground, and you know what happens over time when that takes place? And here in just a second, you're going to lay back. And that's what we're saying. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's what we're saying. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Verse 27 says, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold these. Because it says, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. And again, that margin says, my reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day. We're going to lay this body down. And had we not had a Redeemer, that body would stay down. And this soul would go back to God who gave it. This soul would stand before God, and God would say, you have done nothing but sin since day one. And it's the truth. We've lied. We speed. Everything we do is sin. We hate. We have anger. We lust. It's all sin. It's just a ball of sin. Oh, I'm good. No, we're not. And we're going to find that out when we stand before God. And if we didn't have a Redeemer, that soul would go to a place where we don't want to go. Outer darkness. I never knew you. But because we have a Redeemer, when that body lays down, we're going to go stand before the judge of the earth. And do you know who the judge is? Our Redeemer. He has been made the judge of the earth. And I'm going to say, Lord, you died for me. And he's going to say, I know. And Lord, you paid all my debt and all my sin. He's going to say, I know. And my only hope and my only plea for salvation is you. I know. Welcome in. But it's all because of my Redeemer. My reins within me are consumed with earnest desire for that day. Absolutely consumed. Is that what you confess? Then let's go do it. All right?